This is Keep On Cooking, a podcast for people who love cookbooks and want to know more about the authors. It's also a great place to get a weekly dose of culinary inspiration to keep things pumping in the kitchen. So grab a cookbook and keep on cooking. I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello, and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the only podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder, and it's just me this week, flying solo, back for another solo episode with you, which I love so much because I get to sort of pull a book off my shelf that I got for whatever reason it was, and maybe I haven't had time to, or maybe it's a favorite of mine. Just I get to pull any sort of book I want. It's a favorite. It's one I haven't looked at much, and I get to explore it with you on here. So that's what I'm doing this week. We're looking at Six Seasons, A New Way with Vegetables. This is by Joshua McFadden and Martha Holmberg. Now, I want to say about this book, it's not vegan. It's not vegan, but I got it because the last private chefing gig that I booked was in the summer of 2021, and it was for a family here in Atlanta. And I got really excited in the interview process because I felt it was going to be an opportunity for me to really sort of elevate my culinary game. I had just finished a year and a half as the culinary director at the health food brand Arden's Garden here in Atlanta, and I was really looking into going back into private chefing and sort of just really taking care of a family again and elevating my vegetable game, right? So I got really excited. I got subscriptions to a few different food magazines, and I bought a couple books that really just focused in on cooking vegetables and cooking them well and doing different, new, exciting things with them. As I got into that job and it progressed, there was no time for me to educate myself, which was sort of a big bummer about all of it. I was so busy taking care of the family, and sort of the demands were so great, if I'm being completely honest, that I didn't have time to educate myself on new ways to cook vegetables or exciting ways to elevate things I'd already been doing. I kind of had to just rely on all of the knowledge I had in the present to make things healthful and quick and easy, which was great. Honestly, I did a great job at that job. I have no regrets, and I love the food that I cook for them. But at the end of the day, my goal when I got that job was to sort of elevate myself in the culinary landscape with vegetables, and I didn't get to do it the way I wanted to. So this book, Six Seasons, A New Way with Vegetables, has literally been sitting on my shelf for the last 2 years, and I love it. It's so gorgeous. It has lots of gorgeous photos, and it's just like one of those thick, sturdy books. Six Seasons is a winner of the James Beard Award for Best Book in Vegetable-Focused Cooking, named a Best Cookbook of the Year by the Wall Street Journal, The Atlantic, Bon Appetit, Food Network Magazine, Every Day with Rachel Ray, USA Today, Seattle Times, Milwaukee Journal, Sentinel, Library Journal, Eater, and more. So you can see why I picked this up as a potential book to help me elevate my vegetable game, right? And I knew when I got it that it wasn't vegan, but in my brain, you know, I've had lots of authors on here when I ask them about what their first, I always say, what was your first vegan cookbook, right? But I've had a few of them say, actually, a book that I went to all the time when I first went vegan was this book, and it wasn't a vegan book, but it showed me like all these different cooking techniques and things to do. And I thought, well, I understand that. You're trying to learn all of the techniques about food, not just vegan cooking, right? So that's why I gravitated towards this book. And of course, I thought, whatever recipes are in there, I'll be able to veganize. And I got to tell you, I've never cooked from here. I really never got to return to it. I got it, and I've held it in my hands many times, and I've wanted to talk about it on this podcast many, many times, because I do think it's such a gorgeous book. And obviously, look at them accolades, am I right? But when I flip through here and I do look at the recipes, they're so easily veganized. And I'm sure this chef, I don't know if he'll ever listen to this podcast, but if he does, he might be one of those chefs that's not cool with the plant-based way and is like, don't veganize my stuff. But guess what? I do what I want to do. It's my kitchen, and I will take these recipes and veganize them however I want to. But speaking of that chef, maybe he's down with it. I don't know him. His name is Joshua McFadden, chef and owner of renowned Trattoria Ava Jeans, or maybe it's Ava, Trattoria Ava Jeans in Portland, Oregon. He is a vegetable whisperer. That's a bio I pulled from somewhere. Vegetable Whisperer. I love that. After years of racking up culinary cred at New York City restaurants like Lupa, Momofuku, and Blue Hill, he managed the trailblazing Four Season Farm in coastal Maine. That sounds stunning and glorious, seriously, where he developed an appreciation for every part of the plant and learned to coax the best from vegetables at each stage of their lives. Now listen, he's got a co-author on here. Her name is Martha Holmberg. She is a food writer who has authored or co-authored 9 cookbooks. Her book, Modern Sauces, was a James Beard Award finalist. Look at this gal with the James Beard Awards. 6 Seasons, A New Way with Vegetables, written with Chef Joshua McFadden, won the James Beard Award. And Grains for Every Season, the follow-up with this book, also with McFadden, was a James Beard Award finalist. Holmberg was the editor-in-chief of Fine Cooking Magazine for a decade, the food editor of the Oregonian newspaper in Portland, Oregon. So Oregonian, and the founder of Mix Magazine. Ooh, founder of a magazine. Get it. Founder of Mix Magazine. Before beginning her editorial career, she studied cooking at La Varine in Paris, where she worked for several years as a private chef. So listen, you're getting the goods with this book. You're getting 2 people who are in it, who know what's up and are delivering on the recipe front. And it's, again, it's just so gorgeous to look at. And you can cook foods by season. That's the coolest part. When you look at it, if you're watching right now, you'll see the pages on the edge there are color coded. So you can go by season and look them up by color, which is so awesome. And let's talk a little bit about the book then before I just start sharing my own thoughts and we look through it. In 6 Seasons, A New Way with Vegetables, Joshua McFadden's first book, he channels both farmer and chef, highlighting the evolving attributes of vegetables throughout their growing seasons, an arc from spring to early summer to midsummer to the bursting harvest of late summer, then ebbing into autumn, and finally the earthy, mellow sweetness of winter. Each chapter begins with recipes featuring raw vegetables at the start of their season. As weeks progress, McFadden turns up the heat, grilling and steaming them, moving into sautés, pan roast, braises, and stews. His ingenuity is on display in 225 revelatory recipes that celebrate flavor at its peak. I guess it's not ingenuity, it's ingenuity. I was thinking the ingenue, always the theater brain here. His ingenuity, right? I don't have David here to tell me what's correct. I need my sweet husband by my side to please tell me what's right. David's good with words. David's really good with words. But anyways, 225 revelatory recipes that celebrate flavor at its peak. 225 recipes, y'all. This book dives into it. I've got to make space here, move my microphone over so I can flip this book open and get into it with you, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to get into it, okay? There's a really cute picture of Josh in the front here. Oh, look at him with all his vegetables. Look at him with all his vegetables. So the book starts out with a foreword by Barbara Domrosch and Elliot Coleman, and then a few little tidbits on how getting dirty helped him become a cook and how this book can help you become a better cook. And then also a little bit about what they learned about writing this book. So they get you get a little personal insight from the jump in here. But we're going to jump into the recipes, of course, right? And we've got some go-to recipes that are listed here. Let's see what the go-to recipes are. And I'm going to guess that these are recipes that are in the book, right? I'm going to go-to recipes, torn croutons. There's a beautiful picture of croutons, toasted nuts and seeds, brined and roasted almonds. So these are just really quick, like sort of like staple recipes that you, and they're sort of like a, as you do them, you know how Tabitha Brown's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's sort of what these first ones are. But man, he gets into it with cacio e pepe, mushroom butter. Now, I don't know though. See, that's where this gets a little weird. Cause are we using, you're using a 1/2 pound of, so example, this mushroom butter, how would I veganize it? You're doing, you've got mushrooms, you've got garlic, you've got thyme, you've got parsley, you've got rosemary, you've got chili flakes and kosher salt. And of course you have a 1/2 pound unsalted butter at room temperature. Now you can get vegan unsalted butter these days. So you would literally just sub that in. That's the cool thing about the vegan world these days. So I think a lot of these recipes you can easily veganize. At least that's been my experience in flipping through. So go-to recipes are sort of like some staples in there. Some have exact measurements. Other ones are sort of like, cook with the spirit, like Tabitha Brown says. You know, there's a whole section on pickling. So 57 is pickles, 6 seasons in a jar. I love that. I think pickling is something I would love to get into more when David and I potentially have more space at our lake house someday, you know, when we'll have big extravagant dinners and we'll invite everyone over and we'll serve them all pickled 6 seasons in a jar. We've got a basic vegetable pickle brine here, cold brine, hot brine, things to put in the brine. So in the hot brine, he's got asparagus, Brussels sprouts, fresh chilies and ramps. In the cold brine, he's got beets, carrots, cauliflower, celery, cherries, cucumbers, fennel, radishes, spring onions, turnips, wax beans, zucchini, and summer squashes. I mean, really just a nice sort of how-to on pickling. So that's cool to have in there. I just got David a book about sort of gardening. We'll probably go over that book eventually, but it's about gardening and like how to put all that produce to use. It's a really cool book. I can't remember the name of it. His sister recommended it because Christy, my sister-in-law, has a garden for days. She's been going strong. Big garden. But let's get into this here. So we've got spring. So the 6 seasons: spring, early summer, midsummer, late summer, fall, and winter. Now, when we look at spring, he's got listed artichokes, asparagus, English peas, fava beans, lettuces and early greens, onion family, early season, radishes, and sugar snap peas. So you know what's interesting? My other thing about this, when I started cooking for that family and was like, this is my opportunity, I'm going to like embrace my chef side like I never have before, I was like, I'm going to make it all seasonal. Like, I'm going to... Oh, man, when I tell you, I just didn't have time. I did not have time. I wanted it to be seasonal so bad, which was a big part of getting this book. I wanted everything to be seasonal. I wanted everything to be from a farmer's market. I mean, in short, I was supposed to have an assistant that never got hired. I think had I had that, it would have been a bit of a different experience, and I could have like evolved in my culinary arena in the way that I've been talking about. But also, everything happens for a reason. Am I right? You know, it was a great experience for what it was. But like, that was my intent, to cook seasonally and from farmers markets and to really elevate my vegetable game, which is why this book spoke to me so much. So let's take a look at what's some cool things to do with some cool things to do with the artichokes here, huh? So, yeah. So, I mean, we got raw artichokes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we just have a beautiful, there's so many recipes. I don't even know where to start. We've got raw artichoke salad with herbs, almonds, and Parmigiano. So of course, vegan Parmesan on that. BioLife now makes a really fantastic block of Parmesan that you can grate. Follow Your Heart, of course, has a grated Parmesan and also the granular Parmesan that you can get. So there's lots of vegan versions for Parmesan that you can get to fill in this spot here. And we've got an artichoke and farro salad with salami and herbs. If you're going to get a salami, there's a brand called Renegade where you could sub that into this. And there's another brand called The Beehive that I love. I don't know if they make a salami, but they make a pepperoni that I would not be shy in putting in this salad. Their pepperoni is delicious, David, and I love it. Shout out to The Beehive. We've got a raw asparagus salad with breadcrumbs, walnuts, and mint. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Oh my gosh. I have dreams for this podcast of like cooking through a book and doing a mini episode every week where I just come on for 5 minutes and talk about the one episode or the one recipe I made. And I wonder if this is the book, y'all. But I don't know. I travel a lot. It's hard to put that on my plate. One day I won't travel as much. And maybe that's a project for then, right? Because I'm telling you, this podcast can keep on going for years. There's so many cookbooks out there. We got asparagus, nettle, and green garlic frittata. So you can use just egg for the frittata. You see what I'm saying? That's why this book is so cool. Books like this, like non-vegan books, you pick them up, you can veganize it now these days. It's easy, honey. Asparagus, garlic, chives, and pea shoots with or without eggs. So we're going to go without. Grilled asparagus with fava beans and walnuts. I do not use fava beans. Never have. So that would be an interesting exploration for me. English pea and pickled carrot salsa verde. Oh my gosh. English peas with prosciutto and new potatoes. Now listen, I don't have like a direct replacement for prosciutto. So that's going to be sort of subjective what you think can sort of, I'm sure there are some vegan ones out there. But also like, maybe you just skip that one then. Maybe you skip the prosciutto. We've got a couscous with English peas and apricots. Says, oh, lamb meatballs. But listen, get yourself some Guardian meatballs. Get it together. Make this vegan. That's what I'm saying. So many great ideas. Smash fava beans and mint toast, fava farro, pecorino salad, fava and pistachio pesto on pasta, fava beans, cilantro, new potatoes, herb butter with warm bread, little gems with lemon cream, spring onion, radish, and mint, bitter green salad with melted cheese. So whatever it is, let's check it out. Let's see what the melted cheese is. I'm sure you can use vegan cheese. And if you're vegan, which you probably are if you're listening to this, I hope you're not annoyed with me on this. Honestly, if you are, listen, this is my opinion. You can get books like this and veganize them, and I know you can do it. And it's just going to widen your culinary scope and help you in the kitchen get more inspired. So I'm all for this today. We've got all kinds of different cheese in here that you can use. So it says provolone you can use in here. So you can use that. What there is, follow your heart, has a provolone. Boom, done. Look at that. Sauteed greens with olives is another one. Charred scallion salsa verde. Ooh, I love scallions. Radishes with tomato, sunflower seeds, and lemon. I'm always looking for ways to use radishes, everybody. I don't know about you. So this is so simple. It's got lemon, radishes, some mint, salt, sunflower seeds, and a handful of sunflower sprouts. Oh, and the picture looks so lovely. But that's what I'm talking about. Just like easy inspo, things you can make so easily and so quickly. And this can sort of help you in the seasons as you roll along. And it's somebody who's got all the experience giving you all this information here. So it's great. Sugar snap peas with pickles and cherries and peanuts. Sugar snap peas with pickles and cherry, with pickled cherries. Sugar snap peas with pickled cherries and peanuts. I had never thought about pickling a cherry. Have you? But it sounds interesting. I don't want to say it sounds amazing because it sounds a little weird, but at the same time, it also sounds like amazing. The sweet of the cherry with the sour of the pickling. Ooh, honey. I love it. Crispy sugar snap peas with tonnato and lemon. I don't know what tonnato is. I don't know what tonnato is. Let's check it out here. Let's check it out. Tonnato sauce is truly Italian, but you'll recognize the flavors from the tuna sandwiches of your youth. The sauce works so well with many pickled vegetables from raw to grilled to pickled. Huh. So there's a photo on page 38. I'm still not understanding if this is like a marinara or I don't understand what it is. Oh, yeah, I still don't know what it is. Look at that. Huh. Tonnato. If you're out there, tell me, because we have all the, oh, here we go. Oh, tonnato's the last one. So it's like a white icy. So it says you'll recognize it from tuna salads of your youth. I think that must mean along the lines of a mayo. That's what I'm thinking. Let's see what's in the recipe. Maybe that will help us out. I bet it has a mayo base. I bet it does. Oh no, it's got tuna in it. Yeah, but a lot of mayonnaise. So there you go. Won't be making tonnato anytime soon. But maybe you will at home, and maybe you can veganize it. Maybe that's the thing for you. But like, tuna sandwiches were never like a big thing for me. So like, that's not really doing it for me, but that's up to you. Moving on to the next season. We have season 2, early summer. Where do you summer? Did anyone see that episode of Friends where Phoebe meets Paul Rudd's rich parents? And she tries to put on a rich accent. She says, where do you summer? Cracks me up every time. So in early summer, we have beets, carrots, celery, fennel, potatoes, and turnips. So that sounds like a great chapter. I love all, I mean, it's like you don't think of these things. So he says, or they say, Martha and Joshua, these seasons don't ever divide themselves neatly. Spring, meaning going from spring into early summer. So spring flows into early summer and fits and starts. A week of t-shirt weather may be followed by a sting of cool gray days, challenging our optimism about summer's arrival. But such weather ambivalence is great in the garden and on the farm. It offers enough sun to give vegetables traction to start growing in earnest, but keeps growth in check with still cool nights. The soil itself's warming too, encouraging roots and tubers to develop into harvestable sizes. Not only is early summer a seesaw between warm and cool weather, don't we all love early summer? It's so wonderful. It's also when you'll find vegetables in both young and mature stages. For example, you may encounter tender new carrots as well as more developed ones that are overwintered from last fall. Those months in the cold developed their sugars and made their textures more dense and firm. I'll treat the true young carrots, beets, and turnips with a lighter hand than the mature ones. So look at that. A little insight into early summer. Now, recipes of early summer. Here we go. Beet slaw with pistachios and raisins. Roasted beets, avocado, and sunflower seeds. Ooh, that sounds good. Carrots, dates, olives, and creme fraiche and frico. The creme fraiche, I bet you can veganize it in here. Grilled carrots, pan-roasted carrots with carrot tops, salsa verde, avocado. Now, it does get into some seafood and meat stuff. I just don't even like saying out loud if I'm being honest. Sorry. Celery salad with dates, almonds, and parmigiano. Cream of celery soup, celery, apple, and peanut salad. Now, listen, I would never think to do that, but that sounds so yummy. Doesn't that sound yummy? Celery, apple, and peanut salad. I don't know where y'all stand on celery. When I worked at Arden's Garden, we had a straight up celery juice that I loved, and I was shocked that I loved it. And I know that it's so good for you. So y'all get some celery juice. Tell me how you feel about it. Or just about, like, someone was telling me at work the other day, they were like, for dinner, I had ants on a log. I had peanut butter and celery with raisins. So I hope y'all are jealous. And they were kind of saying it like, oh, I had this sad dinner. And I was like, that sounds amazing to me. Like, it does. It just sounds so yummy. It's not nostalgic for me. My mom was never big on the ants on the log situation. But I remember making that for myself as a kid. I guess I was a latchkey kid. I remember coming home from school by myself and digging through the cupboards and making it happen. We've got a roasted fennel with apples, cheese, and almonds. So again, tossing that vegan cheese, smashed potatoes with lemon and lots of olive oil. Done. Yes, please. And that's potatoes are part of the early summer season here. So we've got more potato and roasted cauliflower salad with olives, feta, and arugula. Violife, again, if you're looking for a feta, Violife does a great feta cheese. Pan roasted new potatoes with butters. I mean, come on. Turnip salad with yogurt, herbs, and poppy seeds. Vegan yogurt tossed in there. Done. See how easy this is? Sauteed turnips with prunes and radicchio. Would never, ever, ever think of that. So that's what I mean. This book's full of great ideas like that. I do really mean, though, it did get, there's some things in here where it gets into seafood and steaks and stuff like that. And it says like roast chicken. As I'm starting to read this out loud to you more, I'm starting to avoid those titles, if I'm being completely honest, because I'm just like, you know, I'm vegan 100% and proud of it. Gosh darn it. So it's very difficult and unnatural for me to just rattle off and steak and then be like, well, just substitute it with, you know, XYZ. I will say there's a book called Vegan Pasta Night when there's a photo of a filet mignon in there. David and I have been, and it's not because we want a filet mignon. It's sort of like the fun of creating something hearty like that out of vital wheat gluten, right? And there are places like the Herbivorous Butcher in Minneapolis sells all sorts of different kinds of steaks. So, I mean, you could get into it in this book and get yourself a vegan steak to put with these items, right? And there's lots of seafood substitutes out there. Now, for me, I was not big on seafood to begin with before I went vegan. So it has literally never, ever been anything that I've missed at all. And there have been so many substitutes coming out. And I go to these conferences. I've tried like watermelon, tuna, that's fine. And he's like watermelon with some marinated and some seaweed. It's so funny because people try and they're like, oh my gosh, this is a mall thing. And I'm like, it's fine, but like, I'd rather just have a piece of watermelon. Well, maybe that's just me, but I know that for some people it's like life changing and they need it because like tuna's been their go-to forever, right? So having a watermelon or tomato tuna is going to be the most exciting thing for them. So I celebrate it, but I have to remember, you know, like there's all different people coming in from all different walks of life into the vegan plant-based lifestyle, whatever you're calling it. I interchange the two. Don't get mad at me or get mad at me again. Listen, I'm here. I'm full of my opinions now and I'm just going to share them. I'm getting too old not to share them. Okay. I interchange vegan and plant-based. Be mad at me if you want. I'm fine with that. Okay. Moving on to the next season, Midsummer. So this is season 3, Midsummer. So let's check out what is being offered in Midsummer. I got to tell you, my mouth is like, I open this book and I want to make all of the things because it's so exciting to me to have all these things about. Oh, I just turned to that page. That's the sauteed turnips with prunes and radicchio. Again, would I cook with prunes? I would never think to do that at all. We all know what we think of when we think of prunes. So in this, we've got 8 pitted prunes, balsamic vinegar, olive oil, garlic, chili flakes, Japanese turnips, salt, and radicchio. I mean, let's get into that. So here we are. Season 3 is Midsummer. Where do you summer? Midsummer, they have to say about this, about Midsummer, the authors. From the authors, Midsummer isn't a fixed block of weeks on the calendar. It's a state of mind. Ooh, this phase shows up at different points in different parts of the country. When it does arrive, it brings an assurance that yes, indeed, summer is actually here. Yes, yes, yes. I got to tell you too, as I'm reading this and we're in these seasons, when I'm recording this right now, it's September 2nd, I think. And we are leaving summer and my heart hurts. I used to not be a big fan of summer because of the heat. For those of you that listen for a long time, you know that I'm sober from alcohol. And when I used to drink, all I was doing all the time was sweating out booze because that's how much I drank back in the day. So the summer would roll around and I was like, this is not a drinking friendly season. But at the same time, it was because like I was rolling with my day drunk vibes. I'd be like, oh, let's do some day drinking. This is going to be great. And you'd be in the summer air and everything. But then I would be like sweating the toxins out. So it was just like a gross experience for me, but then also like super fun times at the same time. But now that I don't sweat like that, I love the summer. Love it, love it, love it. And, you know, we've got a little pool here at our complex. It's been nice to take advantage of that. You got to go early. You got to go around 10 a.m., 11 a.m. because the kiddos start, and it's a very small pool. The kiddos start coming around noon, 1 o'clock, 2. And then it's, you know, as they should, splash around in the pool. It's summer, have a good time. But that's not very relaxing for me. So I go early, you know. I pay attention to the schedule. I go early so that I can go and enjoy myself. A little peace and quiet. I float around on my little raft that David got. And it's a good time. It's a good time. But so as they were saying about Midsummer, they say there's a point where it does arrive. It brings an assurance that yes, indeed, summer is actually here. No more cold snaps. You can relax now. Once I'm past the initial post-winter joy of eating anything fresh and green, I get more expansive in my cooking. In these warmer weeks, I can choose from a wide range of vegetables, joining those ever-faithful brassicas, such as cauliflower and broccoli, are so juicy they quench your thirst. Cucumbers, yeah, string beans in yellow, green, and purple, and summer squash in its youth, slender, taut, and delicious. Listen to that description of vegetables, y'all. Ooh. Which is the only stage in which to eat squash. True that. Once it's bigger than a small hot dog bun, the flesh will be seedy and watery. Truth. Many of these early summer vegetables will continue through the golden days of autumn, but they are ripe and ready to enjoy now in big platters of colorful salads, weeknight pastas, and pickles and preserves. I think that's one of the things about vegetables too. A great way, like last night, David and I had an Alfredo. But I didn't do, it wasn't like tons of pasta. It was like a bunch of vegetables, a little bit of pasta, and the Alfredo sauce. But that's a great way to do vegetables. Just toss it with a bunch of pasta. Okay, so let's get into these recipes of Midsummer. We got smashed broccoli and potatoes with Parmigiano and lemon. Now, what does that mean, smashed broccoli? How do you smash broccoli? Fill a large pot with water and salt it. Add the broccoli, 6 to 8 minutes. Smash the vegetables with a potato masher or a big spoon until the vegetables are crushed but still chunky. I see. All right. I mean, that sounds, I guess, just a, and then you pair it with the other items and mix it in. You've got smashed broccoli mixed in with all those seasonings. That's delicious. We've got pan steamed broccoli with sesame seeds, parmigiano, and lemon. Rigatoni with broccoli and sausage. Use a plant-based sausage. Chinese beef and broccoli. Use some seitan in there. Charred broccoli. Well, that one's got too much stuff. We're not veganizing that one. Skipping that. Raw couscous cauliflower with almonds. So that's a couscous cauliflower with almonds, dried cherries, and sumac. Sounds divine. Roasted cauliflower, plums, sesame seeds, and yogurt. Cauliflower ragu. Cauliflower steak with provolone and pickled peppers. Baked cauliflower with, nope, skipping this one. It's going a little fishy. I don't know. Cucumber, celery, apricot, and pistachios. That sounds like a nice little side. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Cucumbers with yogurt, rose, walnuts, and herbs. Hebs. Cucumbers, scallions, mint, and dried chilies. Ooh, all of these little side dishes with cucumber. I love it. I love it. Love it. So good. We got roasted string beans and scallions with pine nut vinaigrette. Squash ribbons with tomatoes, peanuts, basil, mint, and well, it says spicy fish sauce. So let's take the fish sauce out and just check this out. Squash ribbons with tomatoes, peanuts, basil, and mint. Listen, he keeps popping up with this little combination of peanuts and mint. I'm here for that. I'm here for that. I mean, I'm telling you, even if I weren't to cook a recipe from this book, just looking at the recipe titles alone inspires me to make different things in the kitchen with vegetables. It's fantastic. Grilled and roasted summer squash with caper raisin vinaigrette. Come on now. And then fried stuffed zucchini flowers, zucchini and zucchini pickles. Get into it. Get into it. That is midsummer, which then takes us into season four, which is late summer. Not double late, just late summer. So let's see what we have here. Oh, corn tomato salad with torn croutons. Oh, and there's this great picture here. So I'm just going to share this if you're watching. Of them sort of serving a farm-to-table dinner with those great lights strung across and a whole bunch of people sitting at a big table. This would be like dreams of mine to have something like this one day, just to be able to, and I don't mean open for business, just to be able to serve my family at this large, beautiful table outside. Wouldn't that be so cool? Maybe I do mean for business. I tell you, I talk myself out of going into a food business all the time. David and I get really excited about something and then we think about the logistics of it all and we're like, are we just asking for it if we were to open a food business? Like, we would lose our minds. Anywho, all right, recipes of late summer. Ooh, let's see what they have to say about late summer. I love these little chapter openers about the seasons. So they say about late summer, the days begin to grow shorter. The sunlight takes on a more golden glow as it streams from a lower angle, hinting that our warm days are numbered. Ooh. Ain't that the truth? The fields have had months of sunshine and warmth. Just about everything is going crazy. We still have the vegetables that join the party early in the season. But now we get the quintessential hot weather delights. Corn, eggplant, tomatoes, peppers. Shell beans are in season now too. And while not as succulent as these other late summer entries, they are a treat to enjoy when fresh and perfect for harvesting and storing for the fall and winter to come. Throughout the year, my cooking is influenced not simply by the vegetables I have available, but by the vibe of the season as well. The vibe, baby. Get into that vibe of the season. At this point of the summer, the vibe is party. Awesome. Love that. The range of colors is full spectrum and stone fruit. Melons and berries are on deck too. Great partners for the vibrant vegetables. I know the nights will soon begin to cool, making them even more appreciative of the crazy good opportunities for deliciousness. Yes. Speaking of the recipes for late summer, raw corn with walnuts, mint, and chilies. Ah. I mean, the cool thing. I know I say that a lot. But what I love is just the simplicity of a lot of these recipes. You can read the title of it. You pretty much know what's in it and you're going to turn to it. And maybe there's like a little olive oil and some seasonings or something. But like this gives you a great idea of what you're looking at already. Just when you peel through the book and look at the recipes. Corn and tomato salad with torn croutons. I already mentioned that one and it looks so good. Sauteed corn four ways, grilled corn with butter and pecorino, corn tomatoes on grilled bread, knife and fork style, corn fritters with pickled chilies, roasted eggplant spread, grilled eggplant with tomatoes, torn croutons, and lots of herbs, rigatoni and eggplant a la norma, preserved eggplant, roasted pepper, panzanella, and let's see here, red pepper, potato, and prosciutto frittata topped with ricotta. You know, you're going to need some know-how to veganize that. I will be upfront when I say that, but it's doable. It's doable. Perfect shell beans, beans on toast, beans on pasta, risotto with shell beans, vegan sausage, and bitter greens. It doesn't say vegan sausage, but we all know I was going to say that anyway. So I just tossed it on in there. Crunchy mixed bean salad with celery and tarragon. Tomato rubbed grilled bread topped with tomato salad. Oh, tomatoes in late summer. Come on. Yes, this book. Oh, farro with tomatoes, raw corn, mint, basil, and scallions. I love all that so much. Tomato, melon, and hot chili salad with burrata. Now, I don't know if he makes his own burrata in here or not. And I'm not even gonna look because it doesn't matter, because if he does, it's not vegan. But there are lots of great cheese books out there now, or even Google online vegan burrata and make yourself some burrata. Vegan cheese is so fun to make. So really for anything in this book too, when you see something like that, what a great opportunity to expand your skills in another arena. You know, this is not a quick and easy book. We're talking about farming, we're talking about vegetables, we're talking about seasons, we're talking about utilizing the most of vegetables in each season. This is a very educational book and helps you get expansive in your culinary skills, okay? So if that's for you, pick it up. This book's also a great gift. I think vegan and non, honestly, again, if you know someone who's so good in the kitchen and especially great at veganizing stuff, they're going to be really excited about this book. And you just sort of have to say, hey, I know it's not vegan, but I actually thought you'd like it and get a lot from it because you could veganize some stuff. You know what I think is a fun thing to do too when you give a book like this? You could even pinpoint a couple recipes. You could be like, also, like, I saw these couple recipes and like, if you're ever up for veganizing them, I am up for taste testing them. Like, let them know you're invested in what they can do from the book as well. Put a little post-it note on it maybe that says, I love you, cook for me. Merry Christmas, happy birthday, here's a gift. I want to know how my gift I'm giving you can give back to me, essentially. That's what I want to know. We got farro with tomatoes, raw corn, mint, basil, and scallions, tomato, melon, and hot chili salad with the burrata. So we already said that. Spaghetti with small tomatoes, garlic, basil, and chilies. Oh, yes. And tomato soup with arugula and torn croutons and pecorino. And grilled green tomatoes with avocado, feta, and watermelon. So again, you're just going to put in that VioLife feta and you'll be all set to go. So now we're going on to season 5, which is the fall season, which is where we're at right now, everybody. So it's like we're in present times here. So here we go. Fall season. What can we make this season and what do they have to say about fall? So bittersweet. That's fall in a nutshell. Leaves are dropping along with the temperatures and the lush plants bursting with life such a short time ago look all used up. Yet after summer's frenetic growth, I can't help but welcome fall's slower pace. I'm ready to be indoors, spending a little longer by the warm stove, braising the fall crop of artichokes, roasting the last of the chilies, and sautéing a fresh haul of mushrooms newly emerged after a rain. Vegetables that love the cold, like Brussels sprouts and braising greens, are coming into their prime, sweetened by the cold nights and occasional fall frost that encourage sugar development. Roots are sweeter now as well. I do still serve some fall vegetables raw, especially those first Brussels sprouts and kale leaves, but I'm more likely now than in early months to turn up the stove and transform the vegetables with heat. All right. So let's see what kind of recipes. What are we going to be cooking this fall together is my question. All right. All right. Roasted beet, citrus, and olive salad with horseradish. You got to be careful on horseradish, y'all. Maybe he makes his own in here, but there is an ingredient in there that is not always vegan, but there's vegan kinds. I can't remember the ingredient. I just know I've got a couple recipes with horseradish in a couple of my books, and I did a deep dive at one point. I cannot remember what potentially makes it not vegan, though. LJ Steinig, she's like my lead recipe tester. You listening out there? I know that she might remember this because we went back and forth, I think, on horseradish. Anyways, other recipes for the fall, we've got roasted and smashed beets. He loves smashing a vegetable, and I'm here for it. I always only think of smashing potatoes, so I'm here for smashing some vegetables. So roasted and smashed beets with spiced green sauce. Roasted beets and carrots with couscous, sunflower seeds, citrus, and feta. See how simple and delicious that is? I need to make more beets this fall. David loves beets. I'm okay on them, but I really like them. I just kind of don't like the muss and fuss of them all. You know what I mean? All that red getting everywhere. But I got to get used to it because we need more beets in our life. They're great for us. Raw Brussels sprouts with lemon, walnuts, and pecorino. Brussels sprouts with pickled carrots, walnuts, cilantro, and citrus vinaigrette. Let's see what else we got here. Farro and roasted carrot salad with apricots, pistachios, and whipped ricotta. Listen, you can make an easy ricotta on your own with tofu, just a little bit of tofu, maybe a little bit of white miso paste, nutritional yeast, salt, a little bit of dried or fresh basil tossed in there. Bam, you got yourself a whipped tofu ricotta. Just make that in the food processor. Whip it up. Grated carrot salad with grilled scallions, walnuts, and we got the burrata again. So if you're honing in on your burrata skills, your vegan burrata skills, that is. Carrot pie in a pecan crust. All right. Now we got to check out that one. Carrot pie. Y'all, it is like a, I'm showing the picture here if you're watching. It is basically a pumpkin or a sweet potato pie, but only with carrots. And carrots are so good for us, good for our eyes, good for digestion, good for that good movement, digestion, and just all around a great satiating item, great for weight management, all the things. I love me some carrots. Fiber, carrots, right? Fiber? Am I wrong on that? I'm not wrong on that, am I? All the things I learn. Let's check it out. Carrots. Fiber. Sure, because it combines a little easier. Oh, someone's carrots are also high in fiber. I wasn't wrong. Thank you everyone for bearing with me while I look that up. For a minute I had that thought where I said something and I was like, is that not true? But I did not lead you astray. So make this carrot pie in a pecan crust and you'll be able to get some fiber in the form of pie. I mean, can we get into that a little bit? So what else in this? We got 2 pounds of carrots, salt, sugar, heavy cream. Now listen, you can get heavy cream. There's a few different brands on the market these days, but I know Silk makes a brand. It's just called heavy cream. There's a brand you can get in food service called Rich's Plant-Based Cream. It's got 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 eggs, and listen, you can do all those things. You got cornstarch, you can use some flax meal. There's just all sorts of ways to do this. So, you can use coconut cream or coconut milk for that heavy cream as well. And honestly, and I know this is going to make people be like, what? If I can't find the unsalted vegan butter, I'll just use the salted butter and then I omit the salt from the recipe. I am like the chef all the other chefs hate, because when it comes to the rules, I'm saying, fuck it. Like, I'm not bothered by it. I don't care about the rules. What I care about is making food quickly and easily and keeping up my lifestyle with plants, eating more vegetables, and however I can make that easy for myself, that's the way I'm going to do it. Okay. And that may mean I'm not braising and simmering vegetables for hours on end, but it also, I will say, it also intrigues me. So if I have the time to do it, I'm gonna, but I'm just saying, I take a lot of shortcuts and I have zero shame over that. I've been feeling shame over the years, especially when I'm in an institutional setting and I'm talking to other chefs. And they're like, well, we should do this step because of XYZ. And I'm like, yeah, and that's going to add like 45 more minutes onto your prep time with your team. So that's like another hour of labor and this, that, when you're still going to have just as flavorful of an item if you skip that step and do this. They do not like hearing that from me, but I don't care. It really is about, making things quick, easy, and accessible. Again, though, I'm all about diving into the long-term cooking and elevating our cooking skills. I'm all about it. But it's kind of that thing, and I say it in my last book, you learn the rules and then you break them. I think that goes along with everything in life. So if you're at home cooking, and even if you're looking at these recipes, you bought this book and you're like, gosh, that's a little involved for me. Just break it down to what works for you. And now every cookbook author is going to be mad at me for saying that. But I say, I think we have a lot of awesome authors on this podcast who are keeping it quick and easy. And then again, for those of you that do want to spend your whole Saturday in the kitchen, we got you covered with that too. I support that as well. I do that for myself all the time. But I do both worlds. I do the more involved cooking, and sometimes I need something that I need to put together three meals for meal prep in an hour or two. And I just need that to like work for me, right? So I'm just on a tangent now about going with the flow with cooking. Do what works for you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying to you, okay? So listen, we got rainbow chard with garlic and jalapenos. Spaghetti with Swiss chard, pine nuts, raisins, and chilies. I would never think of this. Like, how brilliant is that? Shaved collard greens with cashews and pickled peppers. Oh, collards with frika, hazelnuts, and grapes. Yes, please. The kale salad that started it all. So let's check out the kale salad that started it all. What does that mean? The kale salad that started it all, from the chef, he says, this is the raw kale salad that changed my life. I was the chef de cuisine at Franny's in Brooklyn back in 2007. I was mad that I couldn't find a good salad green, that I couldn't find good salad greens in the middle of winter. And I especially hated, still hate, the mescaline mix. I feel you on that, Chef Joshua. That lines the shelves of supermarkets. No flavor, no texture. I created this kale salad in rebellion against those miserable greens, having no idea it would take the world by storm. But once it got written up in the New York Times, that world seemed to have an unending hunger for kale salads. Well, look at that. So it's got olive oil, lemon juice, chili flakes, pepper, salt, breadcrumbs, garlic, vegan, let's just say vegan cheese you're going to substitute in there. And that kind of appears to be it. Basic and simple. I love that about a good kale salad, right? I'm into that. Ooh, love a good kale salad. Kale and mushroom lasagna is in here. Ooh. Roasted mushrooms, gremolata style, mushroom sausage and rigatoni, toss in that vegan sausage, and crispy mushrooms with green herb mayonnaise. So again, get that vegan mayonnaise and get that green herb on. You know you can do it. I have faith in you. I'm feeling a little self-conscious about my tangent I went on about not getting too involved about cooking. I'm just gonna get over it. Y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all feel me. I know you do. All right. So we're in season 6. Here we are. Winter. So we've got cabbage, celery root, dried corn, and polenta, kohlrabi, onions, parsnips, potato, late season, rutabaga, turnips, and winter squash. While we're on rutabaga, while it's just in my face, I want to say, at Veg in Philadelphia, Chef Rich Landau and Chef Kate Jacoby have made a rutabaga fondue for years that I'm obsessed with, and I've tried to recreate, which is why I get books like this, because I want to learn things about vegetables. And I have like asked Chef Rich, I'm like, you can just like give me that recipe. I just want it so bad because I love that fondue. It could also be the little pretzel bun that they serve it with that you dip in the fondue. Mmm, soy good. So good. So delicious. All right. We're on season 6. Winter. Winter is coming. Here's what they have to say about winter. Expectations are low for fresh produce in the dead of winter, yet the range of what's available in the cold months is stunning. Roots, potatoes, the whole crazy world of winter squash, and of course, cabbage. The winter flavor palette is subtle, however. Gone are the assertive green flavors of early season vegetables. What winter brings is a lot of earthiness, mellowness, and believe it or not, sweetness. Many winter hardy vegetables gain a boost of sweet once the weather dips below freezing. When a plant's starches turn to sugar during a frost, it's called cold sweetening. Look at that education. For roots like beets, carrots, and parsnips, and brassicas like broccoli, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts, the sugar... You see how I struggle? I'm always trying to put that S on Brussels, and it's difficult when you overthink it. The sugar acts like antifreeze, protecting their cells from damaging ice crystals for the rest of us. That first frost is a delicious call to the kitchen. I love that. Oh, I love that. Okay, beautiful photos throughout this book, I'm telling you. Okay, recipes of winter. Oh, already. Steamed cabbage with lemon, butter, and thyme. I never turn to cabbage as like a main thing I'm going to make. Here's another one. Roasted cabbage with walnuts, Parmigiano, and saba. Buttered and fried cabbage with crispy seeds and lemon. Comforting cabbage, onion, and farro soup. Now that sounds outstanding. I really want that. Comforting cabbage, onion, and farro soup. I love that. Cabbage and mushroom ham pies. Cabbage and mushroom ham pies. Yes, please. Celery root with brown butter, oranges, dates, and almonds. Mm. Mashed celery root with garlic and thyme. Let's see. Fried celery root steaks with citrus and horseradish. Kohlrabi with citrus, arugula, poppy seeds, and creme fraiche. Onion and pancetta tart. So you're going to have to get a little substitute for the pancetta, but I believe in you. I think you can do it. Onion bread soup with sausage. So again, you're just going to get that vegan sausage. Parsnips with citrus and olives. Parsnip soup with pine nut, currant, and celery leaf relish. Oh, are you kidding me? Come on. Parsnip date and hazelnut loaf cake with Meyer lemon glaze. I'm really hoping there's a picture in here of this, There is. It's the parsnip date and hazelnut loaf cake with Meyer lemon glaze. Everybody. Showing that photo here on the YouTube video of the Keep On Cooking Pod. I love me a loaf with a glaze on top of it. Get into it. We got crushed and fried potatoes with crispy herbs and garlic. Mashed rutabaga. There we are, mashing that veggie. Mashed rutabaga with watercress and watercress butter. Rutabaga with maple syrup, black pepper, and rosemary. Who out there is into the rutabaga? Send me a DM at the Dustin Harder and tell me what you're doing with rutabaga. I want to know because I'm so blown away at having all these recipes for rutabaga. And next we're getting into turnips, another area that is very foreign to me, if I'm being honest. Half steamed turnips with alla diavolo butter. I don't know what that is. Let's just say butter. 370. Let's find out what this, is it a type of butter? Like what is it? I don't, it's on page 33. If you're listening, you probably know, and you're like, get it together, D. Get it together. You know how these solo episodes go. I'm just going through the book with you. The Italians have a few dishes they refer to as alla diavola, which means devil style. In other words, spicy as hell. So it's a spicy butter. Look at that. Come on, education. Get into it. So that was half-steamed turnips with alla diavola. Butter, diavola. You got to kind of, I can maybe hear how it sounds in Italian if I put on my little accent there for myself. I should just do it in my head. Roasted turnips with caper, raisin, vinaigrette, and breadcrumbs. Turnip leek and potato soup. I'm into it. Frica mushrooms, turnips, almonds. Raw winter squash with brown butter, pecans, and currants. Currants. Winter squash and leek risotto. Yes, please. Delicata squash donuts with pumpkin seeds. Ooh, it says with honey. You can get vegan honey or use, why can't I think of the word? Agave. I was really seeing aquafaba in my head and really struggling. I was like, I don't want to tell people to use aquafaba in place of honey. That ain't right. Roasted squash with yogurt, walnuts, and spice green sauce. And the last recipe in here is a pumpkin bolognese. So I'm going to guess that's pumpkin with like, meat, probably. Let's take a look. And you know, come on these days, we got the meat substitutes in check. So if you want to make this pumpkin bolognese, let's see if it calls. It might just be pumpkin in here. No, so it calls for ground pork. So don't pay no attention, pay no never mind to that. You could make this pumpkin bolognese and you could do it with, you know, Beyond meat or Impossible meat or anything like that. So you can dig into this book and veganize things however you want, however you want. And that, my friends, is Six Seasons, A New Way with Vegetables. You can get it everywhere books are sold. Even with the mentions of seafood and meat in here, I am in love with this book. For the way it looks, for the way it holds, for the way it carries, for the amazing recipe ideas in here. You know, my problem is with myself in the kitchen these days is I don't get to turn to the books as often as I used to because I'm always creating stuff for my own projects. But I think I'm going to make a point to start veganizing some recipes in here because the ones that need to be veganized, some don't need to have anything done to them at all because I think this book is absolutely outstanding. There's a reason it got the James Beard Award. And they have another book that was released, a follow-up to this book called Grains for Every Season, Rethinking Our Way with Grains. That came out in 2021. So if this piqued your interest, the grain book might be next on your list. I think it might be next on mine too, for that matter. If you're interested in following the authors on Instagram, you can catch Joshua McFadden at JJ_MC and Martha Holmberg at Martha Holmberg. And remember, you can now follow me on Instagram at the Dustin Harder and find out more about my free cooking club I offer once a month and my one-on-one strategy and cooking and my one-on-one strategy and cooking coaching at my new website, dustinharder.com. That's it for this week's episode. Thanks for tuning in. Join me next Tuesday for a brand new episode. Until then, keep on cooking. And hey, remember, it's nice to be nice. This has been a Muzzy Cat production.